Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Good news. That's good news, isn't it?
Invite all the kids that are here for a children's sermon. If I could have all the kids in the front, please. Okay. Hi, guys. I'm going to have you sit around here, okay? Come on, kids. If you guys could be facing me. Hi guys, do you want to face me right here? Turn around, please. Good morning, guys. Oh my gosh. You guys look so good today. Good job, parents. Woo. Good morning, everyone. Hey kids, question for you today. What are we celebrating today?
Easter.
Easter. Okay, what does that mean? What's Easter? Goodness, tell me. Huh?
When Jesus risen.
When Jesus risen from what? From the dead, yes. So on Friday, we remember the day that Christ died. Do you guys know how he died? How?
I know.
Say it.
I know what dies is.
He died. How did he die?
He died for us.
Yeah, for us. But you said, and David?
On the cross.
On the cross. But today we celebrate the fact that he is alive. Okay, so let me tell you what happened. So yeah, he died and he came back to life. So in Sunday in Children's Church, we've been talking about our mistakes and what we've done. And Miss Cindy has shared a couple of the things that she's done. So I'm going to show you something. This is a piece of paper. And as humans, we do mistakes. You know, I've shared that when Miss Cindy was about Jeffrey's age, she did a lot of things that she shouldn't have. Even right now, Miss Cindy does things that she shouldn't have. But each time I do something bad, for example, I decide to, instead of praying and thanking God first thing in the morning, I check my phone and see who has Facebook message me or if I have any text. So I'm picking my social media first before, and I'm guilty. Okay. This is Miss Cindy. I'm guilty of hurting God. So I'm going to put it right here on the tomb. So I want you guys to think, I know you guys are young, but you probably done things that you probably regret. So I want you to think of something that you regret, that you're guilty. Does anyone want to share?
I'll share.
Come on, guys. Your parents are here. No? Cameron, do you want to share something? It's okay. You don't have to. Okay. So have you do is I'm going to pass a piece of paper. Miss Maytal, do you want to help me?
Yep.
Okay, please give one to everyone. Give one piece of paper. Here you go. Here you go. There you go. Here you go. You want to give it to my friends here? There you go. You're welcome. Here you go.
Come on, guys.
Have 3 minutes. Here you go, Cameron. Okay, does everyone have a piece of... Do you have a piece of paper, sweetheart? No? Here. Here you go.
Does everybody have one?
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to show you something cool. Jeffrey doesn't have one. Thank you. Does everyone have a piece of paper? Okay. So, what I want you guys to do, we have time. Write guilt. I mean, write guilty. Not guilt. Guilty. Because we are guilty. If you guys don't know how to spell guilty, I'll tell you. G-U-I-L-T. Just write guilty. Does everyone have a pencil? Goodness gracious. Here you go. Can you pass the pencils to them? Just write guilty. Okay. So as you're writing guilty, it's okay. I want you guys to write guilty. And once you are done, I'm going to have you write, put it right here inside this box. It's okay. Just say inside. Put it inside. Once you put it inside, how about if you say guilty? Guilty. Guilty. You already put your guilty there? Guilty. Good job. Okay. Make sure you say guilty. Confess it. Okay. Did you put your guilty? Come on, Maya. You have to put it inside. Come on. Don't keep your guilty. That's one thing. Never keep your guilt.
Alrighty, do we have all the guilts here?
I have a color.
Well, thank you.
There's one over there.
Okay, oh. Okay, make sure you say guilty. Oh my goodness, he wrote, I am guilty. Yum. Good job. Good job, parents. Okay. Once we're done, please give it back to Miss Cindy.
Give it back to Miss Cindy.
Okay, guys, let me show you. Real cool. Miss Maytal, can you hold my microphone, please?
Yep.
Let me try. Okay, I'll give it to you right now. This is the blood of Christ. Remember, on Friday, he shed a lot of blood for us on that day. So, this is our guilt. All the things that we've done, even the things that we will do. Because trust me, we will still do some mistakes. We never learn. But we will. So, this is the blood of Christ, and I want to show you something.
Yeah.
Miss Cindy.
Where did the paper go, guys? Where's your guilt? The guilt?
Why put the paper on the wall?
Because I'm trying to show you that one, your guilt, because our guilt is gone. Praise the Lord, our guilt is gone. We do not have to feel guilty anymore. Because thanks to that day, that Sunday morning where Christ risen, we have been forgiven. So I want you guys to do something with me. Can we say he is risen at the count of three? Because of the fact that he has risen, our guilt is gone. So if somebody wants to make you feel guilty, if there's a little voice saying, you're a bad person, say, quiet down. I'm not guilty. Well, it's gone. Our guilt is gone. So at the count of three, we're going to say he is risen. One, two, three. He is risen. Okay, can we have everyone join us? At the count of three, everyone, we're going to say he is risen. Oh, your paper. See, look. It's gone. One, two, three.
He is risen.
Yes.
Amen. Okay, guys, we're going to pray. Can you please join me in prayer? Guys, our prayer position. Do you guys remember our prayer position?
I'm okay.
Amen. Okay, join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day, my love. Thank you so much for all that you've done, for all that you will do, Lord. Thank you so much on that glorious day that you were risen, Lord, and that you are alive. Because you are alive, and we are not guilty, Lord. I pray for all these wonderful kids and their parents, Lord. I pray that you be with them. I pray, Lord, that as they grow up, as they learn stuff, Lord, I pray that you will always remind them that they are yours and that their worth is not according to this culture. It's according to you, Father God. I thank you for their lives. And I pray that you'll be with them forevermore, my love. In your wonderful name we pray. And we all say,
Amen.
Amen. Can you please join me saying the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Okay, guys, you may go back to your parents. Thank you.
Thank you, Miss Cindy and children. What a good lesson for each of us this morning with our children's sermon as we're gathering things up. Our choir would like to share with you this morning a 21st century hymn. written by the team of Townend and Getty. They're great from Great Britain. And it's hard for me to get my head around. We're almost 20 years into the 21st century, but we are there. And they are great hymn writers, have given us fresh, wonderful material to use in our worship. And one we'd like to share with you this morning traces the journey to the cross and to the resurrection as we look back at Holy Week's events. The Power of the Cross. Oh, to see the dawn of the darkest day, Christ on the road to Calvary, tried by sinful man, torn and beaten then, nailed to a cross of wood. This the power of the cross. Christ became sin for us, took the blame, bore the wrath we stand forgiven at the cross. Thank you. crown him the Lord of love. Behold his hands and his side. Those wounds yet visible above in beauty are glorified. All hail, Redeemer, hail, for you have died for us. Your praise and glory shall not fail throughout eternity.
Ushers would come forward, please. You may be seated. As we enter into our time of tithes and offerings, would you pray with me, please? Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather here on such an awesome occasion, the celebration of the resurrected one, the risen one. Father, we just pray this morning that we are able to give back a portion of what you've given to us. We pray that you would take these tithes, take these offerings, and bless them to further your kingdom. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Risen. Oh, very good, very good. So glad to have you here, especially if you're here as a guest today. Thanks for coming on Easter Sunday to celebrate the risen Christ. By the way, I don't know if Mel mentioned this earlier, but in case he didn't, these attendance pads are somewhere on the row where you're sitting. If you haven't, fill it out and pass it down. If you do that for us, that'd just be really helpful. How about the music this morning? Diana gave me some great advice. She said, you know, you can just get up there and just say amen and we go home. My wife said that. I mean, oh, no, she didn't. She wouldn't say that to me. I mean, you know. No, it's really good to be here. Wow, what a joy to be a part of God's kingdom on this day to worship God. You know, we got a lot of folks who are traveling today. This is spring break week, of course, in the schools, and kind of unfortunate the school system does that, but that's the way it happens, and we just live with it. We just go on, and it's all about Jesus. You know, today, what else is today? April Fool's Day. You know, Keith, somebody walked in and told me, tried to tell me an April Fool's joke about basketball. But I thought, you know what, I could try and tell you an April Fool's joke, but I'm not going to do that. Because I couldn't tell you a better April Fool's joke than the one that Jesus pulled on Satan. I mean, think about that. I mean, wow. I mean, how cool is that? Hey, go ahead, you know, put me on a cross, put me in a grave, we'll just see how this all works. And Satan thought he won. I mean, you know, but it wasn't to be. What a great April Fool's joke that was. What a blessing it is to be able to share today in worship together. Would you pray with me? God, thank you so much for this morning. And now, God, we're gonna open your word. And we're gonna take a look at the truth that's found in the Bible. And God, we wanna just ask that as we open these words that we would sense the hope and the joy and the peace that comes because we look at your word. God, thank you for your goodness and grace, and thank you for loving us. Thank you for Easter. Thank you for the risen Christ that we celebrate today. In Jesus' name, amen. And maybe I've told you the story about the little girl in Sunday school class. She was in Sunday school class, and her Sunday school teacher is Easter Sunday, and the Sunday school teacher says, okay, can anybody tell me the story of Easter? And this little girl says, yeah, I can tell you. And so she said, well, okay, so tell us. She said, well, okay, it was like this. Jesus was put on a cross. He died on that cross. Then they took him off the cross and they put him in a tomb. They rolled this great big stone in front of it. And then he was there for 3 days. And on Easter Sunday, 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead. Now this teacher was absolutely blown out of the water that she could remember all those details so incredibly. And then she says, wait a minute, I'm not done. Okay, go ahead. Well, see, when there's an earthquake, when the stone was rolled away, and when the earthquake happened, the whole town came out to the grave. Because they wanted to see, because they had heard that when Jesus comes out, if he sees his shadow, there's 6 more weeks of winter. Well, I guess part of the story is better than none of the story, right? I don't know, take a look at what people think about Easter.
Hey, good morning, CTV. We are down here today on South Street in Philadelphia, City of Brotherly Love, and we are asking people questions about Easter. Do you know what's the reason people celebrate Easter?
Yes, because, oh my God. So, because Jesus brought Lazarus back from the dead? Is that correct?
What do you think the meaning of Easter is?
I don't know, just to eat candy? I don't know.
Do you know why people celebrate Easter? Do you know the reason behind it?
Candy.
Oh, magical egg. It's the bird, right? No, it's the bunny.
Do you know why people celebrate Easter? Do you guys know why?
No.
Why do you think people celebrate Easter?
I don't know either.
Do you know why? Why do people celebrate Easter?
A lot of different reasons.
Okay, well, what's one of them?
We celebrate it because of our religion, right?
What's the most important part about Easter?
It's... I don't know. Going to church and for... Right?
Something about Jesus. His birth, something like that.
Because Jesus was born on Easter.
My favorite thing about Easter is the actual celebration of Easter, which is, you know, the birth of Jesus. Am I correct?
The birth of Jesus?
Not the birth, but, you know, the celebration of, you know, God and his forgiveness.
You know, Christmas is the...
Yeah, I know that.
Obviously, I mean...
I'm on guard right now. Like, I mean, this crazy question. I hope I'm not looking like a fool on TV.
No, definitely not. Just a million people will see this. Do you know why people celebrate Easter?
Church purposes? For the Bible? I don't know. For God?
God arose from the dead, right? Yeah, he came back from, yeah. Well, you're at CCD. You should be telling me this.
Yeah, come on, your answer.
What
did you just learn about church? Why do we go to church? Why do you go to church on Easter?
Because Jesus has risen from the dead.
Yes, we got the winner! See? You're a great mom. You're awesome. That was good. See?
Well, you know, no matter what the rest of the world's doing, we're here to celebrate the risen Christ. We're here to celebrate Easter. And that's what this whole series that we've been doing on these crosswords, we've been talking about these words for the last 6 weeks, and this morning we get to talk about Easter and what that means and what it looks like. You know, it's been a kind of a challenging thing to kind of walk through this 6 weeks of Lent and to think about all these words and their meaning to us and how they work in our lives, how they relate to us. Last week we talked about Palm Sunday. It was Palm Sunday, and we talked about Jesus, and I said last Sunday that Palm Sunday brings us to a place in our lives where we've got to choose. We've got to choose what we believe about Jesus. Well, Easter Sunday keeps it coming. Because Easter Sunday, we still have to choose. We got to choose even something more important. Do we believe this thing about the resurrection, or is it just some fairy tale somewhere? Is it just something that everybody talks about it? And the real reason that we celebrate Easter is, like these folks said, candy and bunnies and birds and that kind of thing. I mean, you know, we got to choose. What do we believe about Easter? What do we believe about this very, very special day? Grab your bulletins, or you can turn your Bibles, and we're going to take a look at John chapter 20. And I'm going to read 16 verses that are found in John chapter 20, the first 16 verses of that chapter. And it really is kind of a parallel story to what Mel read a few moments ago, that story of the resurrection moment. So let's listen in as I read these words. Early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and she said, "They have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb. We don't know where they've put him." Peter and the other disciple started out for the tomb. They were both running, but the other disciple outran Peter, reached the tomb first. He stooped and looked in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter arrived, and he just went inside. He also noticed the linen wrappings lying there, while the cloth that had covered Jesus' head was folded up, lying apart from the other wrappings. Then the disciple whom had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and he believed. For until then, they hadn't understood the scriptures that said that Jesus must rise from the dead. Mary was standing outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she stooped and looked in. She saw two white-robed angels, one sitting at the head and the other at the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" the angels asked her. "Because they have taken away my Lord," she replied, "and I don't know where they've laid him." I don't know where they put him. She turned to leave and saw someone standing there. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" Jesus asked her. "Who are you looking for?" She thought he was the gardener. "Sir," she said, "if you've taken him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will go and get him." "Mary," Jesus said. She turned to him and cried out, "Rabbi." And in these few verses from the Gospel of John, we see this brief encounter of Mary and Mary with an angel, and Peter and John in their bewilderment, in their confusion, in their maybe fear in the moment, wondering what had taken place. How did the stone get rolled away? Where was the body of Jesus? What was going on here? And that's what John wanted his readers to understand when he wrote this story on that of the first Easter morning. The tomb was there. The stone was there. Jesus' body was nowhere to be found. Let me share with you why this empty tomb thing is such a big deal. Let me share this with you. The reason the empty tomb is so important is that when we recognize that the tomb of Jesus is empty, when we really understand what that means, hope is ignited in our lives. Hope is alive. It comes alive within us. And who in this world doesn't need a little hope? We live in a world where it's seemingly bad news every day. In fact, in every hour of every day, it's seeming bad news. People struggle with life. They're struggling with the realities of how they go about making life work. They're trying to figure out how to get from one day to the next day. Marriages sometimes struggle. There's people are struggling financially, and hope is almost gone. We need hope in this world. We need hope today. We long for something positive in our lives, something that we can grab onto, something that we can say, this is for certain, and it puts a smile on my face, and it puts hope in my heart. It ignites hope within. And it was that kind of moment for Mary and Peter and John. It was that kind of hope-igniting moment that took place when they got to the tomb and saw that it was empty. They had watched as Jesus had been beaten and tortured. They had watched as he was nailed to a cross. They had watched him say those last words from the cross. They had watched him being, his body being taken down off of the cross after he had died, and watched them put him in this tomb. They watched them roll the stone in front of it. But this morning, this day, there was something way different going on. There was something way different happening. There's strips of cloth lying on one end. There was a linen cloth that was folded up on the other end. There was something that had taken place here. Don't miss what happened in verse 8. Check out that passage, that verse in the scripture. Then the disciple who had reached the tomb first went in. See, John, although he was faster than Peter, he stopped when he got to the entrance. And he didn't go in. But after Peter had come out, John went in. He went in and he saw and he believed. He knew, he remembered what Jesus had said. He saw the linen cloths lying there. He saw the folded napkin and he believed. Hope was born in his life. All this disaster that had taken place in these last 3 days, suddenly hope was reignited within him. I mean, what a cool moment that must have been for John to just discover anew and fresh this idea that Jesus wasn't there at all. Now, by the way, do you know, maybe you don't know, but in the culture of that day, there's a really significant thing that's said in this passage that sometimes we just flat overlook. I mean, I got to tell you, I've read this passage a gazillion times, right? But it just really hit me. In the culture of their day, see, the Bible says, the scripture passage says, that when they looked in, remember it says that on one end, where Jesus' body had been lying, there were strips of linen cloth, right? And it says, on the other end, where his head had been lying, the linen cloth had been folded up and put there neatly. You remember it said that? There's a cultural reason for that. And here it is. In the culture of Jesus' day, when you'd be gathered together with family and friends and you'd be eating a meal, when you were finished, when it was over, when it was done and you had enough and you were getting ready to walk out the door, you would take your napkin, crumple it all up, and toss it on the table. That was a sign that you were finished, right? When you took your napkin and you fold it all up and you put it back on the table, you know what that means? It means I'm coming back. I'm not done yet. Isn't that cool? I mean, so that's what it meant. That's why suddenly hope was reborn in John. He saw this linen napkin that was sitting there folded up. And suddenly this hope was, hey, wait, he's not finished. He's coming back. He's coming back. Now look at verse 16. Don't miss that either. Because in verse 16, Mary responds to Jesus. I mean, she thinks it's the gardener. Until he says her name. And when he says her name, her eyes, it's like the scales fall off of her eyes. She looks at him and says, Rabbi. And hope is reborn. He's not dead. He's not in that tomb. He's not hidden somewhere. He's alive. Right in front of her. Listen, when Jesus calls your name, he's not dead. He's not in a tomb somewhere. He's not off doing something else. When Jesus calls your name, he's standing right there in front of you. Hope can be reignited in our lives because of that. Their hope was rekindled in that very, very cool thing. Now, there's a picture I show you guys every year. You remember this picture? I show you this every year. It's so cool. Because this is, in essence, this is the story of Easter. Yes! Okay, so everybody's got to stand up. Come on, everybody stand up. You can't do this sitting down. Now look. He's not here, he's risen. Yes! Okay, on three, let's do it together. He's not here, he's risen. One, two, three. Yes! How cool is that? He's not here, church. He's risen. That's what we celebrate. Hope is reignited in our lives. Because he's not here, he's risen. Yes. Thanks, you can be seated. I mean, what a blessing, what joy it to know that hope is alive. Hope is alive in your life, in my life, and can be reignited and alive in the lives of millions and millions and millions of people because of a risen Savior. Because of a risen Jesus. Today, somebody told me this on the way in, and I've been saying it for, I don't know, all week, I guess. But they told me, retold me this on the way in. Today, we celebrate the greatest day in human history. The greatest day in human history. He's not dead, he's alive. Today we celebrate this great truth of Jesus. The one truth that sets Christianity apart from every other religion in the world. Listen, Buddha, I gotta tell you this, I hate to break the news to you, Buddha's dead. He's buried somewhere in the world. He's still there. His bones would be there. Confucius, he's dead. He's buried. His bones are still there. All these people who have founded religions in today's world, they're dead. They're in a grave somewhere. Their bones are rotting away. But Jesus? What about Jesus? What? He's risen. He's alive. He is alive. Only one has risen from the dead. Only one did exactly what he said he was going to do. And his name was Jesus. Now listen, let me just remind you of a sobering truth. I don't want to end on a downer, but I got to tell you this. Every one of us in this room this morning, someday will die. Life is a terminal disease. 100 out of 100 people die. It happens. It's going to happen to every one of us. What is going to be the eternal destiny for you and for me when we die? What's our future hold? You see, if the tomb of Jesus wasn't empty, we would have no hope. Life would be a mess. I mean, if the tomb of Jesus was, if his body was still there, you know, this would be all folly. But listen, his body's not there. Jesus is alive. We have hope for today. We have hope for tomorrow. We have hope for the next day, for next month, for next year. We have hope for as long as we breathe. And then we have hope for eternity because of a risen Savior. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. I love what Paul says. 1 Corinthians 15, he says this. He says that because the tomb is empty, because the grave couldn't hold Jesus, we have hope beyond this life. In fact, we have hope for all of eternity. Our hope, our faith is solid. Our sins are able to be forgiven. You know, they just disappear, right, Cindy? They just disappear. They're gone. Just like that really cool visual. They're gone. Because of Jesus. He has conquered our oldest and our fiercest enemies, death and the grave. Game over, we win. Yes! Come on, church! Yes! We win. Stand up! Come on, stand up with me! We gotta do it again! He's not here! He's risen! Yes! Praise be to God. Mel, would you pray for us as we prepare our hearts to come to the Lord's table?
Father God, we thank you that we have a reason to celebrate today, Lord God, and that is the risen Savior, the one who sacrificed it all for our benefit, Lord God. Father, we ask that you would just bless these elements, that as we come and partake of them, that, Lord God, we would understand more deeply what the resurrection really means, the power of the resurrection in our lives, and what Jesus has done for us. That as we take these, Lord God, as you instructed us, that we remember that moment in the upper room and what Jesus has done for us. It is in the power of Christ Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. You can be seated.
That evening in the upper room, as they gathered together once again, they thought they were there for the Passover meal. The Passover meal that had been celebrated for thousands of years, and that they were just going to have this Passover moment. But Jesus knew what this meal was about and that it was going to be different. And he took a common element off the table, some bread, and he broke it. And he said, "Take, this is my body given for you."
I love that imagery. That, you know, they thought they were there for one reason. Jesus kind of turned the tables on them. Before the cross, he said, this is my body. This is my body. And then he said, he took a cup and he held it before him and he blessed it. And he said, "This is my blood shed for you and for many that you might know." You don't have to guess anymore, because he's going to be a risen Christ in 3 days. Your sins are forgiven. Praise be to God. Now, the celebration of Holy Communion here at Covenant Church, we celebrate what we call open communion. And I want you to know that you don't have to be a member of Covenant Church. You don't have to be a United Methodist. But as a person of faith, a person of trusting Christ, you're welcome. This is Christ's table. It's not mine. It's not Mel's.
That's right.
It doesn't belong to our church. This is Christ's table, and it's Christ who invites you to come. He invites you to come and celebrate the power of the body and blood of Christ. You're invited to this place. Maybe for the first time ever, as you come down the aisle this morning, it'll be a moment of faith for you, a faith experience. You're welcome here. We would love to have you come. Our ushers will invite you to come in just a moment. So let me pray, and we'll let the ushers invite you and direct you to come. Father God, thank you for your goodness and grace. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for this moment that we celebrate a risen Savior. Thank you for your work on the cross, for forgiveness that is real. Bless these moments in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, this morning, I need to tell you, we're going to take communion by intinction. And intinction, all that means is that you're going to tear off a piece of that bread, and you're going to come and do that individually as the ushers direct you, but you'll tear off a piece of bread, and you'll dip that in the cup, and then you'll go ahead and partake of that. And then you can stay and pray at the altar if you'd like to. You can return to your seats and spend some time there praying as others are coming. But this is a beautiful time to renew hope, to renew communion with Christ. Ushers, would you direct our church family to come? You're going to come down these side aisles in front of both of these stations and just take that piece of bread and take that cup and be welcomed to the table of Christ.
Praise the Lord. I know we're running a little over, but I think the Lord deserves it. I'm in the right place. Real quickly, if I break down and start crying, y'all keep singing, I'll catch back up, okay? Because this day means a lot to me. We're just going to praise the Lord. I'm just going to be quiet. Would you please rise and let's praise and worship Jesus together. Some songs just sum it all up. You came from heaven to earth to show the way. from the earth to the cross. My dead. From the cross to the grave. From the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Just praising, church. Think of what he's done for us. How can we do anything else but glorify him? Let this be your prayer today. Remember it all day long, church. He is worthy. Church.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus.
Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate.
Hallelujah.
Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. He is risen, He is risen, and He lives forevermore. He is risen, He is risen. Come on and celebrate, come on and celebrate, come on and celebrate the resurrection of our Lord.
Amen. Somebody asked me just a few minutes ago, how long do you say you can play? I said, until he gets tired. I mean, what a great day to worship. I mean, praise be to God. Okay, look, I want us to be today and tomorrow and this week people of the yes.
Amen.
So, just in case you forgot, let's do it again, okay? On three. One, two, three. Yes! All right, we're going to be people of the yes as we go out of this place. Now listen, he's got one more. Now, you can stay and sing. If you've got to go, you got to go. We understand. It's great. Praise God that you've been here to worship with us. Go and be yes people. Go and be the people of the kingdom in the world in which we live. In the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Gonna hold my body down and no grave. Gonna hold my body down when I
hear the trumpet sound. Praise the Lord, I'm gonna get up out of the ground. Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down.
Hallelujah.
When I hear that trumpet sound, I'm gonna get up out of the ground. We'll look way down the river, what do you think I see? A band of holy angels, Lord, are coming after me. Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. When I hear that trumpet sound, I'm gonna get up out of the ground. We'll look down yonder neighbor, watch your feet on land and sea. But don't you blow your trumpets, Lord, until you hear from me. Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down.
Hallelujah.
When I hear that trumpet sound, I'm gonna get up out of the ground. Lord, meet me, Jesus, meet me, meet me in the air. And if these wings don't fail me, Lord, I'll meet you anywhere. Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. When I hear that trumpet sound, I'm gonna get up out of the ground.
All right, here we go.
Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down.
Praise the Lord.
When I hear that trumpet sound,